So we're starting this. Look, never mind. There's a lag. So we want to start the praise worship. We talked last week concerning making sure you're healed up. How many of you dealt with that issue last week and started asking the Holy Spirit to heal your heart so that you can step into and be a better worshiper? Worshiping is a lifestyle. And this is what I love about worship is this is a part of every day of your life. Some people, literally the only time they worship is on Sunday morning. And I need you to realize that that is the smallest part of your worship. That should be the smallest portion. The normal part of your worship should be, somebody's online. Is that Karina?
No.
1-978-821-2202? Is that your wife? Somebody's online.
Oh, that could be Carl.
That was Karina.
I was just on there.
Hola.
Mikey's on there.
Really? Go on, man. So we want to talk about worship and how to actually worship, because most people don't know how to worship, and actually, just like in prayer, there's an art to worship. And this is where, if you're not in a church that doesn't teach, then everyone kind of just does their own little thing. It's not that you have to copy. Everyone's going to worship differently. But at the same time, there are certain principles of worship that we want to make sure that we invoke, because we don't worship our way. We worship God's way.
Amen.
So I'm one where, what's that? The glare. Thanks a lot. My cousin just told me there's a glare off my head. All right. She's in Massachusetts. So I love you. All right. She is moving here. So I do want to give a testimony. We just moved. We left Sunday right after church, drove to New England, and packed my mother up on Monday morning, and my mother and my stepfather moved into their house here, and so they'll hear you get to meet them. They live here now. They're New Yorkers. So, okay, so praise and worship doesn't just happen. You know, a lot of people think when you start praise and worship, you got to have the band, you got to have music. You should never need that. I want to go through 7 Hebrew words. These are not in your notes. So if you have a book, you want to write down your notes along the lines, along the sides of the thing. If you do have just pen and paper, great, awesome. But I want to talk about 7 Hebrew words of worship that bring a progression. Now, it's interesting when you start talking about progression because, you know, when you start dating somebody, you talk to them differently after you've been dating them a month. And then after a year. And then after you get married. It's different. It should be different.
Yes.
I'm talking about intimacy. Should be different. Nothing before and then after. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So everything changes. And then the longer you've been married, your relationship, a lot of times you don't even need to talk. And you're communicating. So it's, amen. So it's progression, and progression is powerful. So I want to talk about 7 Hebrew words of praise. And each one of these words has a meaning that will take us on the path. Now, it's not that you have to follow this path every single time, but you will find that it will be a part of the flow of your life. The number one Hebrew word is called yada, Y-A-D-A-H. And it means extended hands to throw out the hands, therefore to worship with extended hands. So how many of you remember the very first time you walked into a church and you saw people with their hands raised? What was your initial thoughts?
Okay,
they're strange.
What's
that all about? Does everybody have a deodorant problem? No. You know, a lot of people, they'll come to church for the very first time, and they'll see everyone's hands raised. And then there are some in the church that won't raise their hands. They won't even go half-mast. They just won't do nothing. But when you start talking about progression, it's not as much that your hands are raised, but what this word is actually talking about is it's talking about surrendering. Now, surrendering is a major part of praise and worship. Why is that? Because when we lift up holy hands without wrath or malice, what we're saying is, I am surrendering to God. I'm taking this moment before I step into deep worship, and I'm going to surrender every portion of who I am. So when you see people raising their hands in church and they understand what's going on, and you've heard me give the explanation before, if a robber walked up to you, stuck a gun in your chest and said, stick him up, give me all your money, usually you go like this. Why do you do that? You're surrendering. It's an outward expression of what you're doing inside. So when we worship, when you see people lifting their hands, really when they're lifting their hands, all they're saying is, Lord, I surrender. God, I'm taking this moment and I'm surrendering my life. I'm taking this moment, I'm stepping off the world and I'm stepping into you. Lord, I'm taking this very moment and whatever is distracting me, I arrest it right now and I now lift my hands, I now surrender, I now give you eminence, I now give you posture and position that you are my focus. So yada is very powerful. The second word is called towda, T-O-W-D-A-H. The definition comes from the root word yada, but is more used specifically like this. It means this, an extension of the hands in adoration, a vow, and acceptance. And some of the words that it uses, Psalms chapter 50, verse 14, offer unto God praise, tauda, and pay thy vows unto the Most High. Another one is Psalms 100, verse 4, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. See, one of the greatest things you can do is when you surrender your heart to the Lord, that's yada. When I surrender to the Lord and then I step into the courts of praise, I am now making him the priority of that moment. And so here we have God being that place of praise. See, when we enter his gates with thanksgiving, what happens when you enter into with thanksgiving? What happens when you are thankful? What's that? Yep. He what? What's the verse? Come on, give me the verse. Very good. He inhabits the praises of his people. So what happens when you enter his gates with thanksgiving in your heart, I'll enter his courts with praise. When you start to praise, you take your eyes off the world and you put your eyes on Christ. So you're surrendering, and then you tauda, which means now you're focusing. So I surrender, now I'm focusing, yada, tauda, Lord, you are awesome. Thank you for saving me. Listen, if you got nothing else to praise him for, you can praise him for saving your soul. You can praise him for the blood that he shed on Calvary just for you. Jesus, I thank you for dying on that cross for me. I thank you for loving me when I was very unlovable. How many of you are unlovable? How many of you had a pretty ugly life without Jesus? Amen. Lord, I thank you that when no one else cared, you cared. I thank you, Jesus, that you never gave up on me. I thank you, Jesus, that you love me with unconditional love. Watch what happens. The moment you start doing that, the Holy Spirit starts to come. Why? Because the favorite topic of the Holy Spirit is Jesus. And when you start to praise Jesus, the presence of the Holy Spirit just starts to come, and he inhabits the praises of his people, which means the presence of God is going to be evident in that motion. There's nothing greater than everybody stepping into praise, and all of a sudden the electrified presence of God fills the room. All of a sudden the anointing permeates every corner, crevice, and crack, and every individual from the top of the head to the bottom of their feet. The more we praise, the more we enter, and the more we thank him, the more our eyes go from here to there. Everybody has trouble. Everybody has problems in their life. And let's just say you have a physical problem. And it's easy to say, man, my body this, my body that, I have this, I have that. Or you can say, Father, I thank you that today I can still walk into church. God, I thank you that today I can still lift my hands. God, I thank you that today that I still have a voice. God, I thank you that today that I have family. God, I thank you today that I had a car to drive with. Lord, I thank you today that my life has been changed. The moment you do that, everything changes because your focus is now transitioned from being just you and your problems to being Jesus high and lifted up. Amen?
Amen.
So this tauda is very important when we're talking about the progression of our praise and worship. So we surrender. Everybody surrender? We surrender. Yeah, there you go. You're saying, oh my goodness, I've never done this before. I've never done this before. Everybody's doing it together. We're good. We're good. So we surrender. And then we start thanking him. Come on, start thanking him. What has he done in your life? Father, I thank you for Jesus. God, I thank you for tonight. I thank you that you are in this place right now. You said where two or three of us gather, you're there. So Holy Spirit, as people are praising Jesus, just release your anointing in this place. In the name of Jesus. Father, let your glory be felt in this place. We love you and thank you that you love us so much. You care about us. And God, I do praise you for all, Lord, your patience in our lives. In Jesus' name. You start doing that, all of a sudden, man, you start to stir yourself. Did you feel it? Isn't that great? Woo! Sorry. Woo! So what happens is this, is the more you start to your yada, I surrender, tauda, you start to praise him and give him thanks. Man, let me tell you something. When you're in your darkest moments, you've got to learn to be a praiser. Do you remember when Paul and Silas were in the bottom of the prison? They weren't just in jail. They were in the bottom of the jail. They were where the rats. Now, I don't know if you know anything about. There's chairs in there, brother chair. If you know anything about the prisons in other countries, they're not like America. They have TV in America. They have beds and pillows. And I'm not saying it's the most pleasant environment. But in other countries, it's a lot worse. And in other countries, where they sleep is where they poop, is where they pee, is where they eat. It's all in the same little location. It's not like they got beds and they can't, you know, say, I want cable. Nothing like that. And so Paul and Silas were in the very bottom of the jail. They were in the lowest portions of the prison, and they were in stockades. Their arms were in stockades, and their feet were in stockades. They had just had rods, and they used to beat them with rods. Has anybody ever had a spanking before?
Yeah.
Lord Jesus. But can you imagine a rod with the bare back, and they beat you until you were bloody? That was the normal beating that they would do. So here's Paul and Silas. They just had the snot beat out of them with rods. Now they can't even soothe their wounds because their arms and their feet are in stockades. And it's in the midnight hour, and they have an opportunity. What's their opportunity? God, where were you? What's happened? I thought because I served you, everything was going to be perfect and easy. I don't understand why we're in the bottom of this prison. If you were really God, you would be able to do something. Now, that's what most humans would do. But they were smarter than that. They learned that tauda was powerful. And so the Bible says they began to sing hymns and songs. And the presence of the Lord was felt throughout that entire jail till all of a sudden an earthquake was released by heaven, and it shook all of their stockades off, and they were all getting ready to bug out. And the poor prison, now you got to understand about the prison guard. The prison guard was freaked out. Why? Because if one of the prisoners escaped, he and his entire family were burned alive. So it was not a good situation. And so what happened was this. Paul went up and said, man, everything's good. No one's gone. But they got loose because they learned how to praise. They took our eyes off the situation and they towed us. They learned how we'll enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. We must learn how to be praisers because that releases the presence of God. If you need a miracle, praise through everything. Instead of complaining, instead of moaning, instead of groaning, be a praiser. And you'll find that after you yada and you tauda, then all of a sudden, you're going to have something called Shabak. Bow! Shabak, Shabach. The definition of this word is this, to address in a loud tone, to command, to triumph, glory, and shout. Psalms 145 verse 4, one generation shall praise Shabak, thy works to another, and declare thy mighty acts. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. And another word is called shout unto God with the voice of triumph. You'll find that when you get to the place where all of a sudden it starts building up, there's just something you got to do. You can't sit in the corner and go, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
What was that Psalm?
Psalms 145, verse 4. And so what happens is, after you start to praise, man, all of a sudden, the cork starts to get loose on the top. You know what I mean? You start getting excited about Jesus. And when you get excited about Jesus, you just can't keep quiet. You remember when you, let's talk to the guys a little bit. You remember when you saw that hottie? You know, you're staring at her, and you thought she was pretty, and man, you just thought she was this hot chick, and you wanted to be near her. Amen, of God. You wanted to be near her, and you start dating her, and you're telling everybody about your girl, man. You're telling everybody how beautiful she is, how smart she is, how much you love her, you want to be with her, and all the love stuff. It's beautiful. When you start to praise, when you yada, and you start to tauda, you then will get into the shabak, which all of a sudden, hallelujah! You just got to shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Man, you got to let it out of your spirit. Some of you, all this timid stuff. Yeah. Hallelujah. Man, you got to let that thing out. Let that thing burst out of you. Very first time you do that, you're going to have a level of, well, I don't want anybody to hear me. Why not? Who cares? Isn't it about time you stop caring what other people think?
Yeah. Amen.
Honestly, so many of us are so harnessed by other people's perceptions and thoughts. Aren't you sick and tired of caring what other people actually think about how you worship? Man, it just breaks you loose. I remember the very first time that I danced before the Lord. It was in Bible college. And a kid came over to me, and he looked at me, and I just knew. I didn't know what was going on, because I was from an Assemblies of God church. Now that they're different in different areas, but the Assemblies of God church that I was from, 9 Wassel Street in Gardner, Massachusetts, we never saw anybody dance. I remember seeing the very first person dance at Bible college. His name was George Smilage. He was from New Jersey, and he was a Latino, and man, could he dance. He's dancing down the aisle at Bible college, and my hands were, I had white knuckle disease. I said, oh, Jesus, what did I get myself into? Oh, God, oh, Jesus. And you know, George danced all over the place. He danced every service, so after a while, you got used to George dancing. But, you know, it was amazing the very first time. So this guy came up to me, and he was going to give me a hug, and I didn't know what was going on, but the Holy Spirit told him to just bring a transfer of the anointing, just release a fresh presence of God. And so he didn't hug me that night. He's not a hugger. And he came to me the next morning, and he said, I want to apologize. He said, because, man, the Lord told me to hug you, and I didn't hug you. He said, so when I get the green light again, I'll just release the presence of the Lord again. And I remember the very first time that he walked up to me, and he gave me a hug. I don't remember. It was like a click. Ching. And baby, I don't dance. I was taught a little dance, a little hell. You know what I mean? You know, I remember in third grade, my father coming, pulling me out by my ear. I went to a dance. I snuck to a dance. So I had never danced a day in my life. Baby, I took off. My arms are flaring. You know, my legs are swinging. I'm just dancing before Jesus. Man, you will never feel more liberty in your entire life than when you dance before God, when you get to the place that you could care less what anybody else has to think or say. And when you do that, you'll be delivered from yourself.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Man, some of us need to be delivered. Amen.
Amen.
So we what? We yada.
Yada.
Come on, everybody, yada.
Yada.
Amen. I surrender. Yeah. And then we tauda. Come on, tauda. Father, we worship you right now. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness in my life. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, right out loud. Some of you, I've never done this out loud in my life. Today's your day. Today is a day of breakthrough. Today is an exciting day of learning how to praise.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness in my life. Thank you, God, that you love us, that tonight you care about hearing us in this room. Thank you, Jesus, that your ear is turned down for you long and look for those who will worship you. In spirit and in truth, we're here, God. God, we love you, and we want to learn how to worship and praise your name. So tonight, God, we just give ourselves fresh and new in Jesus' name. And then you get a little Shabbat. Come on, someone give God a shout.
Hallelujah.
Come on, I said shout.
Hallelujah.
No, listen, we got to disrupt. They're having, you know, we got to disrupt their class over there, all right? So I'm talking like, come on, shout unto God with a voice of triumph.
Hallelujah.
Man. See, it's just something that happens. Look at the smiles all over this room. No, really. This is something that you've got to get a hold of. This is called praise and worship. When you start to learn how to praise, your smile changes. Because you cannot not be happy when you're praising Jesus. Amen. And when you give that shout, it's just that boom, you get to release yourself. It's so exciting. I just love this stuff. Young lady in the back. I'll be honest with you, I'm really not a good Jewish dancer. I think I would get shot later. I'm afraid of them over there. They're young adults. Yeah, they're younger and spryer. Okay, here we go. Next one is called Zamar. Zamar, Z-A-M-A-R. Z-A-M-A-R. Zamar is a wild stuff. You ready? It means touch the strings. Touch the strings. Ready? Play me a song. I've done everything I can in the natural. I need someone to strike the band. Watch this. Oh, yeah, it's not in it. I'm sorry.
Sorry. I bet.
This is where a lot of believers are all messed up. Ready? We come to church on a Sunday morning, and this is what we do. Well, are they going to start the music so we can get into praise and worship or what? Well, I don't like that song. That's a little bit too slow. That's a little bit too fast. That's a little bit too loud. I used to, my last church, I had a lady, she would bring earplugs. Zamar means this. Ready? Watch now. Yada. Tauda. Shabak. Watch. Then Zamar. So before you ever get to strike the band, you should already be surrendered, entering his gates with thanksgiving in your heart. Shabak. And then, I've done everything I can do in the flesh. Come on, strike the band. Strike the strings. I need to praise. I need a little help. You see, we're always waiting for the band. We should be halfway through praise before the band ever strikes a string. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
So a lot of us, because we've never been taught, we stand there, we talk to our friends, and then we wait for the music to begin, and... Now listen, I sit up front. Now listen, I got not much to say, but it's really funny watching a lot of people, watching a lot of you clap. And I'm glad you don't care whether I watch you or not, but I had this guy in my last church. Now, he was a farmer, and he would clap like this. It was painful. No, I'm serious. I'm not even kidding you. It was painful watching him. It was pain. I finally said, Lloyd, stop clapping. Just tap your foot or something. He didn't have rhythm. He had no rhythm. So before you and I should ever get to the place where the worship team starts, we should already be yada, which is I surrender. Tauda. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. And then you got, you're starting to stir up this. Come on, you're stirring up the pot. Stirring up the pot. Hallelujah! And then I've done everything I can. Somebody strike the band. Zamar. You see, and it changes when that happens. Some people say, Pastor, where are you before the service? Not every week, but 90% of the weeks that I'm usually in my office with my lights off, and I'm yada, tauda, and shabak before I ever heard Zamar. Some people say, are you always that bouncy? How much coffee did you drink this morning? But really, it has nothing to do with that, because I don't drink a lot of coffee. It has to do with that when I get into the presence of the Lord, I get excited. Now, when I get into church, I might not get excited. But if I get into the presence of the Lord, I get excited. See, this is just a building. Amen. But when you and I start to praise, When you and I start to stir up the gift of God that's within us that we receive by the laying on of hands, when you and I start to praise him to the place where all of a sudden we start to shabak, man, because we recognize without Jesus, where would we be? Come on now. I love that song we sang last week. I sang it every morning. Like I said, this is how my prayer time goes. When I get up in the morning, I go up into the man cave, get my wife her coffee, go to the man cave. I'm up in the man cave, and I have a guitar up there. I pick up my guitar, and I just start singing. And you don't have to hear me, but Jesus hear me. He said, you're all right. He told me. He said, you're all right. I said, thank you, Jesus. Yeah, no, he told me. He told me, you're all right.
Is it Lord on your
knees? Oh, my goodness. Every hour. It's an old hymn. It's an old hymn. I need thee every hour. Man, I was singing that this morning, and I could just feel the anointing just to rush into that room. Well, why is that? Because as I'm praising him, as I'm letting him know that, God, I can't make it without you. See, when we actually believe that, praise is easy.
Yes.
Amen.
It really is. It's easy. When we really think we got this thing in our pocket, praise is tough. Because we blame God rather than ask him for help, rather than thank him for what he's already done. How many of you were a mess before you got saved? Man, isn't it powerful to recognize how far he brought you?
Yes. Amen.
Look at Rich, how far did God bring you? Dear Lord. His wife says, you got a long way to go. But honestly, I love giving Rich's testimony because I think it's just powerful. You know, Rich, a harvest festival, and I make donuts every harvest festival. And I was in the cafe making donuts, my great aunt's recipe from Northern Maine, and I'm making the donuts. And this guy sticks his head around the corner. Never met him, never seen him a day in my life, and he says, "Need any effing help?" Yeah. And I said, well, of course I do. Come on in here. So Rich came in there, and he was GD, and he was Jesus Christ, and he wasn't born again. Listen, everybody gets shocked when sinners do what sinners do. Why are you shocked? They don't know. And so he and I just start talking. We build a friendship, and I said, man, I hope to see you Sunday. And he started coming with his wife, and he gave his heart to Jesus. Yeah, it worked out good, didn't it? You know, he's one of my boys, and God's healed him so many times, man. He had a stroke, and he wasn't able to talk, and God healed his voice. He had another stroke, and it did something to the side of your face, your eyes, and God healed him right in the service. Had word of knowledge, and God healed him in the service. He said some phenomenal miracles, and you know, it's just that he's got so much to praise Jesus for. You know, the Bible says if you come from a long way down, you got a lot to praise him for. Some of us church folk, church kids, we kind of forget because we haven't lived lives as badly. But you know what? We needed Jesus just as muchly. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's only by the blood of Jesus that you get to heaven. But man, if you come from a long way down, you got a lot to thank him for. So when we get to Tauda, man, you should never be quiet. And you need to speak it. Remember, we're talking about words. Words are seed. When I'm in my man cave and I'm praising and worshiping Jesus, I'm planting seed. What seeds am I planting?
Life.
I'm planting life. I'm planting presence. Mm-hmm. If I want the presence of the Lord and he inhabits the praises of his people, I'm planting seeds of presence. I'm expecting a harvest of presence. I'm expecting a harvest of the glory of God. I'm expecting a harvest of the miraculous. I'm expecting a harvest of the anointing. I'm expecting that as I'm praising him. Why? Because I'm planting seeds of worship, seeds of glory, and the word backs up everything we say. So the more you worship, the more seeds you're planting. And man, I don't know about you, I want to plant some good seeds. Amen?
Amen.
How many of you got some bad seeds in the ground that you need to yank up?
Yeah.
Amen. Start yanking in the name of Jesus. Amen? The next one is called Halal. H-A-L-A-L. Halal. The word halal means this. That's where we get the word hallelujah. It means to clamorously and foolishly praise God. It means be loud and be stupid. Honestly, think about that. When was the last time you praised God where you, not that you're trying to draw attention, but you praise God enough that, man, it actually drew attention?
I do it every day.
You drool? We don't talk about that out loud.
No. You know what I mean.
And you all of a sudden you go, hallelujah! You anoint 20 people around you. Glory to God. But man, some of you are so reserved. You're so reserved with your praise. And it's almost like you're afraid. You're afraid. Again, it gets down to being afraid of what people think and say. But you know, this is the amazing part about praise and worship. When you actually get to the place, you really don't care. You know, most preachers won't do what I do on the altar. You know, they won't jump up and down. They won't get excited. They won't, you know, throw their hands in the air. They won't see, you won't see the first lady kneeling on the altar. You won't see her laying out before God. You won't see any of that stuff. But my wife and I made a decision a long time ago, and that is the presence of God is more of a priority than our posture.
Amen.
Our posture, our greatest posture, is abandoned. Abandonment to him. Clamorously and foolishly praise him. Not too long ago, you saw me take off dancing across the altar. I heard a lot of snickers, and I'm telling you right now, I could have killed y'all. No, I'm just kidding. I really could have cared less because I don't care. I really don't care. Because if I'm having to praise to please you, well, then I'll never please you. Because some of you like it louder. Some of you like it softer. Some of you like it, you know, you like it reserved. Some of you just want to roll on the floor. You know, they got the name Holy Rollers for a reason, you know. I remember my last church had a Baptist brother come, and he goes, listen, I'm a little afraid. He said, because I heard you guys swing from the chandeliers.
Really?
And I took him over, and I says, I've got good news for you. We got no chandeliers. He goes, okay. Halal, clamorously and foolishly praise. Do you know that God spins and dances over you? That's what the word says. God spins and dances over you. When was the last time you spun and danced over him? And you know, a lot of people that are showboaters, and again, I'm not pointing fingers, but showboaters, they'll spin and dance at church, but they never spin and dance at home. If you can't spin and dance at home, don't spin and dance at church. Because praise isn't for the people, praise is for him.
Amen.
But when you spin and dance at home, you will spin and dance at church. Because it's a normal outflow of who you are. So we get to that halal. The next one is called Barach. B-A-R-A-K. It means to kneel down, to bless God in the act of adoration. Let me give you verses. I'm sorry. Let's go back to Shabbat. We already did that one. Let's go back to Zamar. And that is, where are you? Psalm 21, verse 13. But thou exalted, O Lord, in thine own strength. We will sing and praise, Zamar, thy power. We sing and strike the harp to thy power, is another rendition of that verse. Another one is, with song and with the string, we will sound forth thy power. Psalm 66, 2 and 4, Isaiah 12 and 5. Halal. Now listen, if you do miss some of these verses, remember all this is on archive. You just pop back on archive and listen to it again. The halal verses are Psalms 113, verse 1. Praise halal, ye the Lord. Praise halal, all ye servants of the Lord. Praise halal, the name of the Lord. That's that shouting and clamorously, foolishly praising him. You know, someday I pray we all get to the place where we just step out of our chair, step away from the people that seem to negatively influence us and harness us. Isn't it horrible to think that we're not worshiping, we're not worshiping a building, we're not worshiping a sound, we're not worshiping a song, we're actually worshiping God. I'm talking about the real guy, the one who is and was and is to come, the Alpha and the Omega. We're worshiping him, the one who with uncompromising love, he came after you. You didn't come after him.
Amen.
In every other religion, they got to seek after God. They got to find their God. But in the kingdom, God looks for you. Yet we allow the person next to us to influence to a place where we won't clamorously and foolishly praise. We won't even shabak because of this person. I've watched people bring guests. It's amazing when people bring guests because they worship different. Well, I don't want to offend them. Well, I don't want to scare them. Listen, if they've never been in this church before, they're going to be scared, period. If you're not warning them, you're crazy. We're actually a Pentecostal church.
Amen.
We're not ashamed to praise him.
Right.
You know, we have people going out in the spirit. I remember we had a young young ladies that came and they brought their boyfriends. And they sat them on the front row. Well, they must not have warned them. Because, I mean, we're laying hands on folk. And two people fell right at their feet. Doosh. And they're looking down at him. They didn't return. But honestly, if they're not going to return for Jesus because of what God does, I'm okay with that.
Amen.
But if they're not going to return because the church is afraid to praise him, I'm not okay with that. More people are going to be transformed because they're looking for life. They're not looking for death. They're not looking for praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures, here below. Praise him above ye heavenly hosts. Hey, hold you, slow down. Praise Father. You got to stay with the song leader. It's very important. What's that? Oh, stop. But man, I've been to churches where they open that hymn book and you've just, well, I remember as an evangelist one time, I went to this church in Pennsylvania, and I preached miracles and signs and wonders, and the worship team stood up to do praise and worship, and this is what they did. The first song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. I hit the pastor. I says, man, can you stop them? Because I need to go get my guitar. And I really, I'm not a good guitarist and I'm not a good singer, but I know how to usher in the anointing. And that was not going to usher in the anointing. We were going to get ready for a funeral. It just was not allowed. Yeah, actually, I used to have requests. Do you make CDs? Do you have CDs of your singing? I'm thinking, you people need drugs. Barak is so powerful because it gets to the place where now you're being raptured into his presence. We're almost like a blanket. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever felt the anointing of the Holy Spirit in your life. But a lot of times, come here. A lot of times, the anointing will come on you in different ways. Dude, turn up. Smile at everybody. We'll take this off your head for a second. The anointing is so interesting because for some people, they'll just feel a tink, the goosebumps, we'll call them. I feel the goosebumps. But the stronger you get into the presence of the Lord, it will almost feel like a coat. It'll feel like you'll feel it hit the top of your head, and it'll start to go down your arms, and it will go over your entire body. It will become, it's called the glory. The word glory means weightiness. All of a sudden, the glory, the weightiness of God, you'll start feeling him. And you get into that barak. And the more you're into the barak, the things of this world really fall aside. And that weightiness of his glory and his presence, you'll literally feel it come on you, just like a coat. But that doesn't come just because you come into the church. Now, sometimes you might. But you have to enter in. You have to receive. Okay. And before we ever get to Zamar, what do we got to do? Yada, Tauda,
Shabbat.
And then, I've done everything I can do in the flesh. Come on now, somebody help me. Strike the band. Thank you. It's so good. Did it smell? It's heavy. It is heavy. So you see, this is where, when you get to that barak spot, which is so cool. The Bible says in Psalms 95, verse 6, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel, barach, before the Lord our Maker." When you kneel before God, you are exclaiming him to truly be the King. And that doesn't just come with words. When you are in full adoration, when you are in full honor and respect, you will drop to your knees. And when you drop to your knees, man, the presence of God just rushes. Why? Because Adonai, Lord, owner, when you recognize your submission and you yield to him in barach, there is nothing like it. Some of you need to grab some rug on a Sunday morning. What does that mean? Kneel down before the Lord God, your maker. When the presence of the Lord is weighty on you, kneel. Well, you know, I don't want to kneel because people will look at me. Who gives a flying care? You have got to get to this place. Who cares? Who cares? They're not going to stand with you in eternity. It's you and him. Man, there comes this place you can literally shred off the cares of this world, where when you're in that barak, it's just you and him. It's almost the encapsulation of his presence. And then the last one is called the Helia, Tehillai. T-E-H-I-L-L-A-H. T-E-H-I-L-L-A-H.
Thank you.
And you know what it actually means? I got no more words to say. He starts to worship through you. It's a depth of praise where you don't need to say a word, but you become the trophy of God. Where now you're so engulfed with the anointing, so engulfed with his presence, that there's not even words to speak what's in your heart. It's just you and him. Yeah, isn't it a great place? Listen, if you've never been there, let me tell you what it's like. When you get there, an hour will pass, and you won't even know it. 2 hours will go, and you won't even know it. All of a sudden, you'll just be raptured in his presence. Remember we talked about two types of time, linear time and eternal time? You literally start to straddle. And time loses moments and steps into eternal. It is phenomenal. But you see, most people never get there simply because they're still worried about what other people are going to think. I'm sorry for all you who sit in the back. I don't mean to be rude, but you need to move up. Yeah, you knew. Yeah, I'll tell you why. Because the anointing is stronger up front. I don't really care. You can say it is as strong in the back as it is in the front. I'm telling you now, it is not. It is not.
I tried to sit in the back.
Yeah, it doesn't work. Now, listen, you can sit back there and hear the message. That's cool. But during worship, man, move up. You know, there should be some fist fights in our church right for the front row. Give me my spot. You in my spot. What are you in my spot for? We touching my chair. I put my we had almost a fight over at the school one time because people were hungry. You see, when you get hungry, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. So the hungrier you get for this worship, for this praise. So some lady put her books, her, you know, her Bible and stuff on a chair, and somebody came and moved them. We almost had to have deliverance in the second row. Thank God for Brother Skinkle.
They do that here.
Yeah, they do. You know what? You know what? I like it when people move your books.
I don't.
You want to know why? That means you're hungry. You want something. You're not willing to leave without getting what you come for. And let me tell you, when you get to that place of Tehillai, an hour, 2 hours, you don't have to strive, you don't have to work. It is just you now are straddling that eternal time. And time has no restraints. It is rapture. And I challenge you to get there at home. And this is how you do it. You do these 7 steps. And you do that, I guarantee you, you'll foster the presence of the Lord in your home. Some of you need the presence of God in your home. Your home is not a nice place. And what I mean by that is, it's not real peaceful. The way you change the atmosphere is by praise and worship. The more you worship, the more you praise, the more the atmosphere will change in your home. Well, Pastor, my family's not born again. Then go to your bedroom. Make the anointing so strong that it oozes out of the bottom of your doors. And you might chuckle at that, but watch. When I was in Bible college, the seniors had a move of the Holy Spirit in their room. And anybody who walked by their door went out in the Spirit, nobody near them. When the anointing was so strong at the Azusa Street Revival, blocks away, people would go out in the Spirit walking down the street. Charles Finney, with the great revivals here in New York State, he would go into the shops and preach the gospel, shut down the shop. But what would happen is people outside would be walking by the shop, go out in the Spirit. Why and how is that? That is a life of worship. A life of worship creates and fosters the presence of God. And baby, you can get that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can have the anointing in the shower. You can have the anointing on the toilet. I'll be honest with you. One of the greatest... I'm listening to love. Hold on. One of the greatest spiritual experiences, one that really moved me. I was at Bible school, and he was teaching me. He was teaching me that he's everywhere, and his presence is strong. I had just left the fellowship hall, and I went to the lavatory, and I was standing at the urinal. And the presence of the Lord hit me so strong standing at the urinal, I actually had to turn around to see if he was there. I know it's not a pretty sight. But let me tell you, what he was showing me that day, doesn't matter where you are. I'm there. And if you'll fix your eyes on me, I'll change every situation in your life. You see, this praise and worship thing is not just a joke. It's not just something we do on a Sunday morning. It is literally our lifestyle that we do. It is our activity that we're participating with every single day. Some of you need to turn off your radios in your car. You're wasting time. Some of you listen to, you know, country music. Well, I slept with my uncle while drinking a beer. Turn that off. Some of you are listening to rock, 94 rock. What in the world are you listening to 94 rock for in the first place? I don't even know what Magic FM is. All I know is that you can turn that beast off. Because let me tell you something. I would rather having you worship on the way to work than to listen to the crap. Because what will change the people at your work is not the music you just listened to on the way to work. It's the praise that you bring into work, because now he inhabits. The word inhabit means he dwells in the praises of his people. So now you walk into work, whoosh, the anointing's all the way around you. Wherever you walk now, because you started your day off smearing. You know what the anointing means? To smear. That's the word anointing. It means to smear. They would take oil and smear it. It would almost be like a paste. Smear. So when you're yada, tauda, shabak, zamar, come on, halal, barak, and tehillai, can you imagine if you get, let's just say you get to barak, you don't even get to tehillai on your way to work. And you walk into work, and everywhere you go, the anointing is being released.
Amen.
Do you know what changes people? What changes people is not religion. Church doesn't change people. The anointing breaks every yoke of bondage.
Yes.
So the more you're in the presence of the Lord, the more, watch, I just, see, I'm walking in that anointing right now. I can literally feel the coat. I can feel the coat as I'm walking. You can just boosh. You just release the presence of the Lord. Just release in the presence of the Lord. You can change your office. The people that are the nastiest to you, you can shake their hand and release the anointing.
Yeah.
Hey, how are you this morning? And while you're shaking their hand, you know what you're doing. They have no clue. But most of us don't live that way. We don't live worship. We get up in the morning. Well, I got on the wrong side of the bed. Foul mouth. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. What does that mean? I'm going to enter. I'm going to yada. Hallelujah. Jesus, I surrender right now. Lord, before my day, before I have my feet ever hit the floor, before I ever get out of this bed, before I allow one word of complaint to hit my head, Lord, I surrender. Today, Jesus, I lift up holy hands and I surrender my life. My life is not my own today. It's yours. I was bought with a price. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live according to the faith of the Son of God. So Lord, I thank you that today, oh, I'm already starting to tauda. Because automatically when you start to surrender, you go right into tauda. Lord, thank you for this great day. God, thank you that the rain is falling because we need some grass that's green. Lord, I thank you that today, Lord, I have the opportunity to represent heaven wherever I walk. I thank you that today. See, and at the moment, you start getting excited. Whoosh. All of a sudden you start, hallelujah. God, I thank you for the greatness of this day. And your voice starts to rise, not because you got a problem, but because the devil's now got a problem, because now you're roused in heaven to kick out hell. And all of a sudden now you start to say, I need some Zamar. Where's my praise and worship music? And if you can't find that, then do your own music. You know, I grab my guitar and start to play. And then you get into the place where you just start to clamorously and foolishly praise him. Man, you don't want to see me in my truck because I look messed up. Father, thank you. I'm driving down the road, swinging my arms. Lord, I just thank you. I'm singing out loud. You ever driven by somebody who's like this? And you look at him and go, whoa, baby. That should be you. Man, and then you get to that barak, and all of a sudden, you can't kneel because you're driving, but the presence of the blanket comes on you, and you can sense the glory of God, the heaviness, the weightiness of his presence. And you might not get to Tehillai because you don't have time. But when you step out of that car and you walk into that office, yeah, that anointing is squishing out of your boots. Come on, you need to hear yourself. If you are not squishing out your boots when you step into the office, then what's coming out of your boots? I see that hand, young man.
Last week I had a couple trouble sleeping.
Okay.
So if I slept well, but I had nightmares, or it was I don't sleep well and I have no dreams and I wake up super early.
Let me tell you how to fix it. You ready? You already know how to fix it? Okay.
I asked my mom if I could play worship music throughout the night. And I have her Wild Worship CD.
Uh-huh.
And I have it in like all day.
Yes.
And when I'm sleeping, I have good dreams or no dreams and I sleep well.
Yeah, if you have problems sleeping, you either need to put on praise and worship or put on the word. Mm-hmm. Remember, you have that app, YouVersion. It plays, I play it all night long. Yeah, you play it all night long, don't you? Play it all night long. Man, the word gets in your spirit. Your spirit's never sleeping. It's always eating. So feed it the word all night long. And you can't have a bad dream. How can you have a bad dream when the word's being spoken in your life?
I wake up.
You wake up with the word?
I wake up with the worship in my head every morning.
Every morning. See, isn't that powerful?
And when I wake up, I tell the Holy Spirit in the morning. And then I go downstairs and I read you devotional. And then I eat my bowl of cereal, I pack my lunch, and I get in the car, and I listen to the praise and worship all the way to get to work.
See, you're feeling it. And that's how it works. Can I tell you, the other night, I just like you, man, I wake up with music. And so I woke up with this song. Oh, let's put it in mine. There it is. I woke up with... I haven't heard that song since 1975. Terry, take him out. I haven't heard this song in darkness. My children told me I played it for them. They told me to please turn it off. But you know what? The Holy Spirit bubbled that up in my spirit. I had to go download iTunes.
Yeah.
And I listened to that song all day long. And I don't know what that was all about. But you see, worship, when you live it, bubbles out of you all the time.
Amen.
This is lifestyle. And just think, we still have not even got to chapter one of this. We haven't gone through page one of this. I gave you the filler, and actually, it's 26 pages on those words. 26 pages. It's what I do when I teach praise and worship to a church. If I go teach at a church, I use this. These are my notes. The seven Hebrew words of praise. So today I just want to challenge you. Last week we challenged you with praise and worship. This is really only supposed to be a week class on this one chapter. We're going to go on three.
Yes. Okay?
The very first one last week we talked about you need to be healed up in your heart. You need your heart healed up. Because some of you don't worship God because you've been so wounded in your life that you won't even let him in. You let him in enough for salvation, but you won't let him in to lower your guard, to literally worship him in spirit and in truth. Get healed up in your heart, your soulish man. Number two, this week, go through the seven Hebrew words of praise. What are they?
Yada.
Come on. Everybody say it out loud. Say it out loud. Yada. Tauda. Shabbat. Okay, so let's do it. Let's do a little bit right now. Ready? So let's yada. Father, we surrender. Come on, give yourself over to him right now. Come on, talk to him. Right out loud. You got to do it out loud. Tonight, you got to do it out loud, whether you like it or not.
Yes, I do.
Stop whispering. Say it right out loud. Surrender, surrender, surrender. Come on, you know those spots. Surrender those spots. Now, Tauda. Come on, Tauda, thank him. Thank him for what he's been doing in your life. Thank you, Jesus. God, I thank you for putting your finger on things in my life that are not always comfortable. Lord, I thank you that you love me enough to make me more like you. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. Lord, I love the blood. Thank you for your blood that washes away every single stain. Thank you, Jesus, that there's nothing that you cannot forgive and make new. You throw our sins as far as the east to the west and remember them no more. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. Thank you, God, for the peace that you give us. We thank you for the peace of God that passes all understanding, that even in the midst of the storm, it doesn't matter what's going on around us, you speak peace to our lives. Come on, somebody give God a Shabbat. Come on, Shabbat. You know, some of you are still timid. Stop being timid. Come on, Shabbat. Who cares? Who cares? Who cares? Nobody cares in this room. Shabbat. Hallelujah. We worship you, God. Woo! I don't know about you. You can feel a release when that happens, don't you? Woo! Come on. The king is here. Jesus is in the room. Come on, applaud your king. Hallelujah. We bless you, God. We bless you, God. We bless you, God. We bless you, God. Yes. My God, you're so good to us. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of God. You can keep going. You don't have to stop. See, what happens is this. The more you praise him, the more he comes. The more his presence fills the room. This is what Sunday morning should sound like. We shouldn't have to wait for the Zamar. All this is before Zamar. You should have all this in your pocket before you ever walk through the front door of the church. And then when you walk in, you know you got to go to the front because you're already excited. Excuse me, you're my way. I'm going to that front. You get to the front of that church and they start to strike the band, Zamar. And all of a sudden, man, you start getting excited and you start to halal. Man, you might be, maybe never before you've done this. It's a breakthrough. Maybe you've never clapped. Maybe you've never danced. You know, you used to dance in the bar, man. You were a drunk and you used to dance at the bar. But you never thought about dancing in front of Jesus. Well, I don't know. People are staring. Listen, who cares? Yeah, you didn't care when you were drunk. You had the liquid courage. I'd rather have the Holy Ghost courage. Amen? And then, man, when you get to that place of Barak, you might want to just go find some rug. You know, you might just want to go grab some rug right up front, kneel right down. You know, they'll cover you, ladies. You don't have to worry about being embarrassed. They'll cover you up. You know, they got those nice little shawls so no man can be staring at you. You know, we do have some pervs in the church sometimes. And we actually had a dude about a few weeks ago was taking pictures of the ladies. So he was taken care of pretty well. And, yeah, we don't allow people to play around with. We take care of business in this house. We got a great team, man. You be thanking Jesus for our security team. We don't put up with crap. Amen. We had a guy one time, I don't know why I'm telling you this, but we had a guy one time, the ladies were getting out of the baptismal tank. You know, they're modest and everything like that, but he was taking pictures. That didn't go over well, and he's not okay. So, you know, this is where you don't have to worry, man. We got you covered. No one's going to be staring at you weird. No one's going to be taking pictures of you. No, not that. You just go nuts. Enjoy Jesus. Enjoy his presence. Maybe you've never shouted before at church. Maybe you've never made it up to the second row. Be brave this week. No, yeah, you get on first row. Listen, I yelled at my staff because second service, here's the truth. There are no safe seats.
Amen.
So if that seat's empty, go grab it.
Yep.
If the staff isn't smart enough to get up there and grab it first, you got it.
Wait, what if they're reserved?
There were reserved signs? I don't see any anymore. We got rid of them.
Did?
Yeah, I don't see any reserved. I looked at the staff. I said, well, hey, listen. If you're not going to sit on the front row, number one, it looks bad on TV. But number two, if you're not hungry enough, then we'll just let anybody sit there. So we took all the reserve signs off. What's that game? The slide game. What you do is you bring a bungee cord too. Yeah, you put your books down, bungee them around the chair, and you're safe. No super glue, please. We need to keep the chair.
That's why I get here so
early. I have
something I want you to explain.
Sure.
I explained it to somebody, and I don't know if I done it good or bad, but we was talking, and I'm not going to say who it was, talking about the Holy Spirit. And the guy told me, he says, I'm not good at that, because I sound like I'm babbling. And I says, you are. You don't know what you're saying. God knows what you're saying.
Tongues of men and of angels. So when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, it might be languages that are known on the planet. Those are tongues of men. But then there are tongues of angels, which is a spiritual language that God will give you that the devil doesn't even know. So what you'll find, man, when you get the tongues of angels, when you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, speak with other tongues, and you're speaking in other tongues, if it's not a language that's on earth, then what God is doing is he's praying through maybe your future. Maybe he's praying for through you, because remember, the Holy Spirit prays through you when you're praying in other tongues. He's praying for somebody else's safety. You know, I give the example that about the lady on the second floor who got excited praying in tongues. I always do this, give this example when we're talking about that part of the book. And the lady from downstairs ran up. She was from Sicily, and she ran up. She knocked on the door. She says, what are you doing? What are you doing? And the lady apologized for being so loud. She said, I didn't mean to disrupt you. You know, she was in the bottom apartment. She goes, no, I'm from Sicily. And she says, you're speaking perfect Sicilian Italian, and you're praying for a little boy who's drowning off the coast. At the Azusa Street Revival, there was somebody who jumped up and began to give a message in tongues, and there was no interpretation, so they rebuked him publicly. But then a man popped up and he says, no, he was speaking my native language, and the Lord was telling me all the sins that I needed to repent from. And thank God it was in the wrong language, you know what I mean? I don't want to know. Mind your own stinking business. But the Holy Ghost knows. So here we are, believers. Your Sundays don't have to be the same. Your Mondays don't have to be the same. Every day, every moment, you can foster the presence of the Holy Spirit. And you can live in that weightiness. The people that live in that live peaceful lives. Amen. Powerful lives. Life-changing lives for others, individuals. Yes, sir? That was Hillel. David danced before the Lord. Now remember, he was the king of all of Israel. He was so excited the presence of the Lord came back to Jerusalem that he stripped down to his underoos and danced all through the streets. His wife, Michal, which was Saul's daughter, looked at him and was ashamed. And from that day forward, she was cursed. So praise. It's a good thing. I don't want the curse. Give me the praise. And remember, when you start looking at other people, and man, time goes by so quickly. When you start looking at other people and, you know, you see them praise differently. You know, I gave the example. We had the lady from Nigeria, and she was Nigerian, so she worshiped Nigerian, which during worship was doing this. And she'd scream, and then she'd fall to the ground. And I'm watching all the Americans. I just have a question. How could you notice her if you were praising yourself? Well, she was distracting me. How? That means your eyes weren't there. Your eyes were here. And so when you just decide that I'm going to get lost no matter what anybody else does, you're set. You're set. So before you walk in the building on Sunday, you should already halal, tauda, barach, and then, please, somebody help me, strike the band. Amen? Questions? That was a good class. We almost got to chapter one. All right, I love you. Make sure you give tonight. I do want to give testimony. Rock the City is going to cost $40,000. And we just talked the other day, and there's $28,000 already in the account. $4,000 came in on Sunday. And so we only need right around another $10,000. And so if everyone would just ask the Holy Ghost what to give, we know that there'll be more than enough. We're going to have two more offerings. So just be led by the Holy Spirit. This will make it so we don't take one offering when we're in their community. Not one. And I'm believing God to, you know, we're going to give a car away, and we're going to give 250-inch TVs away, and we're going to give what's called bill pay away. So people who have problems with their NYSEG or with their rent, we'll be helping them with that. And all of that, we're not going to take one, not one offering while we're in the community. Amen. Not one. I sat with the mayor today, and he said, I'm so excited about this Rock the City thing. And, like I said, I contacted WETM and WENY. We're going to start running our TV commercials, and it's going to be very exciting. We're going to get you all invitations so that you can hand them out to your friends. So you can hand them out to your friends. And this is for unbelievers. You know, bring your believer friends, but we want unbelievers. These guys are preaching to the unsaved. You'll see phenomenal miracles, too. Just amazing miracles this week. So get ready. Amen. We are going to also have a fasting and prayer. It'll be a Sunday night and a Monday fasting and prayer. You have to look at the bulletin for the dates. So make sure you're ready on those two for fasting and prayer. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be just a tremendous breakthrough. We're believing God for no less than 500 brand new souls to be saved. And the buses will be running every Sunday morning down to those regions so we can bring in those folks to the kingdom of God so they can grow, not just get saved, but grow. Amen? I love you. Father, bless the offering. Bless the word. Seal it to our spirit. And God, we give you honor and praise. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. I love you. Have a Merry Christmas.